Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Lord, what we have not, give us. Lord, what we know not, teach us. And dear Lord, what we are not, make us, for your mercy and your love's sake. Amen. Amen. Words from the letter to the Ephesians. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God through Christ our Lord, who came and preached peace to those who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Well, we're thinking a lot about citizenship at the moment, in many, many ways, some troubling, some inspiring. As Christian people, we share in the concerns and the commitments of our common civic life. As human beings, we all feel the dismay and confusion of times that are challenging and unsettling. And as members of society, we all long for the building up and the renewal of what is peaceful and true and beneficial to the flourishing of all people. But as believers, we bring a very distinctive grace to our citizenship. We are blessed with the spiritual gifts of faith, of hope, and love, and a transforming vision of an eternal and heavenly perspective. And this is the very joyful news of All Saints' Day. This great Christian celebration reminds us that we are part of something so much larger, so much greater than our brief, fraught passage of human history. Something so much wider, so much more all-encompassing than our small place in this world, our little group of islands which we call our home. We are fellow citizens with God's saints across every land and generation. Fellow citizens with them in the heavenly places, where Christ sits and rules above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So our identity, our allegiance, our belonging as Christians is never finally determined by narrow loyalties or the constricted visions of any worldly system of dominion. Our citizenship rests in heaven. And in company with all God's saints and martyrs down the centuries who have laboured to serve that transcending vision. We are called to be faithful in our own day, to the same struggles and the same hope, fellow citizens with the saints. We are in gloriously good company. Not that that means in any way that our allegiances or our actions here on earth count for nothing, far from it. But it does mean that our heavenly vision, our heavenly perspective, means that all of our actions, all of our allegiances here on earth take their bearing from the grace and truth of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that in the name of Christ and in communion with all the saints, we live for the coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So the saints make this very real and concrete for us. Not because they were perfect, not because they fixed the world, not because they sorted it all. It's quite heartening to realise what a gloriously mixed up bunch they were. Some of them very difficult characters, many of them pretty high octane neurotics. We would recognise ourselves in their midst. But God's Spirit works in every generation to raise up men and women, and some of them children, young people who have sometimes spoken and lived God's truth, so committed to holiness of life that they become for us beacons and witnesses for those who follow on. They reflect the light of Christ for us in very particular lives and circumstances, with their own personal gifts, their unique callings. Rowan Williams calls them luminaries. I love that. They shine. They shine. It's like the old story, isn't it, about these stained glass windows with the pictures of saints. We don't have very many in our church, so we can't sort of point to them. But they let the light shine through. It's what the saints do. With very accessible, very human colouring. There's a poem of George Herbert that I've always loved where he describes the stained glass windows as a brittle, crazy glass. It doesn't matter that they're all a little bit higgledy-piggledy, just like us, but they shine and they glow and they light the way for us. Our fellow citizens in glory, helping us to take the long view of our citizenship here on earth, reminding us of the sheer diversity of gifts and callings in the one hope of fulfillment that is promised to us and guaranteed to us in Christ. So some of them were overtly political saints. They worked out their faith and commitment on a very public stage, and not always, of course, without controversy. Someone like William Wilberforce, for example, who pushed for decades with all the clout and all the connections that were available to a person like him to abolish slavery across the British Empire, deeply inspired by his faith and using all the powers of moral persuasion that he had to show that the systematic institution of slavery was as damaging to society as it was inhumane to the individuals broken by it. He died just a few months after the decisive legislation passed through the Commons in 1833. A long haul for him. Many of our saints didn't live to see the outcome of their vision. They lived and died as faithfully as they could and trusted the outcome to God. Think of another 20th century saint, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, seriously political, again, highly controversial figure who stood against the complicity of his own church to work for the downfall of Hitler. And as most of us know, was executed in 1945, just weeks before the unconditional surrender of the Nazi regime. Other saints work at the level within the structures of society, as it were, through perhaps their personal or professional agencies. And it's good to read those stories and remember the vast scope of personal and potential service. And their influence lives on. I'm just picking people at random here, as you do. We all have our little calendar of saints that are precious to us. But someone like Vincent de Paul, 17th century Catholic, who was a legend in his own time, not all the saints were, very talented priest, who was hired, he was very popular as a chaplain for wealthy families, on quite a good number there, but actually put his greatest effort into practical schemes for the relief of those in grinding poverty. And he was one of those people who had a great knack for conscripting others into his good works. We all know people like that. And became a great transformer. And still we can trace his influence, his inspiration. There's a society of Vincent de Paul that still inspires hundreds of community projects and overseas aid programs inspired by the influence of that one life worked out. Or nearer to home, another example, Elizabeth Fry, one of those, you know, great high-energy Quaker women, Victorian woman, unstoppable, who rolled up her sleeves, first of all, to investigate and then bring practical help and then campaign very, very persistently, particularly with Queen Victoria, for the reform of the appalling conditions in British prisons, especially for women and very often their children with them, who were locked up and left to rot, many without even facing a proper trial. Again, someone inspired by a very vigorous Christian faith, who did what she could. Did what she could. On that note, I'm thinking now of St. Francis of Assisi. Famously, on his deathbed, he said to his brothers, "I have done what was mine to do. Now, may Christ teach you what you are to do." 700 years on, he's arguably probably the most fashionable figure among the saints at the moment because of his great ecological vision. Again, another wider Christian transformative vision, extending his sense of citizenship to all God's beloved creatures, not just the human sphere. So many levels, so many spheres of faithful service, from the very personal, the professional, the political, right out to the ecological, and so many glorious, diverse models of holy living in the world. And then there are the saints whose legacy is to enlighten the more hidden, inner journeys, the journey of sanctity. The saints who are the contemplatives, the teachers, the ones who encourage us to do our own inner work that makes our outward service possible. Someone like Hildegard, perhaps, a great musician, inspired in that way, as well as a very formidable abbess and a profound mystic. Someone like Ignatius, a spiritual genius, as well as a remarkable pioneer in missionary service, powerful leaders who could make the connection between the inner light and energy of the soul and the outer life directed to transformative service. What a variety of gifts. None of them achieving everything, many of them not even seeing in their lifetime the fruit of their labours. And we are fellow citizens with them all. The glorious company of the apostles, the noble fellowship of the prophets, the white-robed army of martyrs, God's holy church across all time and space. And for us at a time of strain and fragmentation and anxiety in our civil society, it's good to celebrate, to direct our gaze to that heavenly perspective, that long vision of what we are about and who it is that we serve. We are knit together in this larger and greater community of God's saints. Their light leads the way for us and inspires us to fulfill our own very particular, very concrete vocation. And as we reflect on what that means for each of us in our citizenship here, now, in this society, they will lend us their larger hope, their deeper wisdom, their greater courage that we need. So what we do with our own gifts in our own generation for the greater glory of God is for us to ponder and pray. One of the latest saints canonized, we can't miss John Henry Newman, wrote this very well-known reflection. God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me, which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. Amen.